Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
I got a stretch now that I said it.
Hey, we're into the 9 o'clock hour. Come on. Come on. And watch out. You're leaning back there. You know what's behind you.
I'm having a morning. And I can't find a place that's open. I got to get a new tire. Whoa. I got a car. I can't even. There's nothing worse than getting in your car.
Yeah.
And your tire's flat.
Because
now you don't know how it got flat.
Right.
And I thought maybe it's because of the weather, cold weather for the first time this car deal.
Sometimes
that
would change the pressure in the tire. But not to go completely flat.
It went flat. Yes. That's why I was a little
tardy. We started everything on time. We good.
We have got Russell Baxter joining us here next segment. We're going to talk NFL action, Falcons, and of course in a bye week. But there are other stories around. I want to get into this Joe Flacco thing with him because I just think that's amazing how he's just been cast off. And we've seen that from other quarterbacks, but not a dude who's got a chip and an MVP Super Bowl.
On his resume.
Piece of hardware in his house.
Yeah.
That's like old news.
Yeah.
So anyway, I want to get into Russell with that and, of course, our thoughts on some of the games coming up here. And by the way, if you can't make it to a television today, I want to let you know you can hear some games right here on our station, Vikings and Chiefs. Pre-game at 12:30, kickoff at 1, followed by the Lions and the Raiders. That kickoff is at 4 o'clock. And then tonight, Patriots and Ravens. Pre-game 7:30, kickoff at 8:20. Again, can't get to a TV, you can hear all those games right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Mr. Crenshaw.
Yes.
Before we get to that, though, something happened earlier this week. In fact, shortly after we got off the air last week. Because it was already Monday.
Right.
where he was. But Tiger Woods came back and won, actually continued in first place, because when that dude's got the lead going into the fourth round, he usually shuts the door. He got his 82nd win last week. Ties him with Sam Snead all time. My question to you is, we got to figure he's going to, you know, Sam got his last victory. He was 52 years old. Despite what the last nearly decade, because before he won at Masters, it was like, 8-9 years since he had won another major? So the ups and downs of this last 10 years, personal and health reasons that have kept him out of that flow he had prior to that, he's still 43 years old.
Yeah.
And he's tied Sam Snead. So we got to figure he's going to get, you know, that 83rd here soon.
Right.
My question is to you. Well, first of all, what did you think of that when you saw it?
And
how he was playing.
Oh, just impressive. And the way he's playing, when he's on, the putt is rolling. I mean, and that's been the difference about his game. Early on in his career, it was off the tee. He crushed it off the tee. Now it's like his irons. His irons are, like, impeccable the way he puts it where he wants it. That, you know, of course, that course had been underwater. I won't say that helped him out a lot, that you can go after pins, but you still got to get it there.
Right.
And he could do that consistently, and the putt stroke was on. And you can tell when Tiger's got the putting stroke on. Just the body language when he strikes he knows it's going. And so that's what he had last week, along with the gum.
Yeah, I tell you, the gum.
Along with the gum. The gum was back last week.
Been around.
Well, no, but we first noticed the gum at Augusta. We first noticed the gum at the Masters earlier this year. And we said, you know, where's that? And to my knowledge, he's never revealed – What gum it is.
See, you're making a bigger thing out of this than
I'm just
folks.
Saying that's something that's a part. It's a part of it.
I believe it. It's something to do with
his focus. But just the way he looked physically, like I said, the body language, when he's got things going his way, you see it. He reflects it, and just the way he poses, positions himself, and everything. He had it all locked in, just like at Augusta last week.
In the last 13 months, 3 victories.
Yeah.
Nah, we ain't seen that in a minute.
Yeah. But
gum or not. Okay. And I do believe that has something to do with it. I don't know what, but, you know, listen, all of a sudden he was doing something and he wasn't doing something. Now he's added something. That's fine. Here's my question then to you. Is he, this is the barbershop conversation. Is he considered, should he be considered the greatest golfer of all time with that 83rd victory? Or we can just keep it right here. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because we, without hesitation, will say Serena's the best female tennis player of all time.
Right.
Right?
Right.
She's not even close to Margaret Court as far as victories.
Yeah.
So it's all about the majors.
And the other thing is, we didn't see Margaret Court win a lot of those.
No, okay. Well, I'll tell you what.
Even if people were alive, because it wasn't televised, it wasn't available.
Okay.
When Serena has won, for the most part, it's been available to us, and we've seen it. And I think that's the other part of it. Even with Tiger, we've seen him do these things, and it's of a different media era. And I think that's – and they, both of those players, like Tiger and Serena, changed their game. You know, they changed the game. You know, just the way it's played, the way you prepare for it, the way you learn it. I mean, just the whole process.
Let me ask you a question. I know how Tiger changed the weight room. How does Serena, though?
Serena's changed because
she's just dominated it. But
not just that, but
you got to be
a more physical player. Before the women's game was a finesse game. That was you know, Chris Everett. That was Martina Hingis.
I was just gonna say. Hang on a second. Navratilova brought that physicalness to it.
She was about the only one, and that's why she beat folks in 30 minutes when she played.
Yeah, and then Steffi Graf wasn't far behind that.
Martina changed to that. She was more of a chip in charge, you know, because she was a serving volley player. And so in the latter stages of career, the thing that helped extend Martina's career was she hit the weight room. And
right.
Chris Everett, well, I would love to tell the story about she went to the weight room with her one time, and she picked up the lightest thing she could find in there because she had avoided weights all throughout her career. But with Serena, the women who come on the tour now don't have a choice. You have to do it, and that's the thing that she's changed about it. Also, the golfers, the condition of the golfers.
Well,
the
that I can – yeah, that – see, we can see Tiger's – influence. Now, I don't know, has the money increased since Serena was there?
Well, we know the money's increased in golf since Tiger's got there. Because at the majors, the women get the same check as the men.
I think there were a lot of women, though, fighting for that, starting with Billie Jean King.
Yeah.
But, again, listen, I get what you're saying. I don't think Serena had to change tennis as much as she needed to persevere coming up the ranks. Her and her sister and what they went through and how they were trained, not traditionally like a lot of the other ones. That's just from my seat. I see that as being what they added to the sport. But let me get back to Tiger first.
I think the other players had to step their game up and had to hit the weight room and had to be stronger if they wanted to stay on the court with them. And that's why I say they changed the game in that way. If you wanted to compete with the Williams sisters, you had to up your game. You had to hit the weight room. And the girls in the past had avoided it.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. If you're just joining us, Sam and I are going over what we saw last week with Tiger Woods getting his 82nd career win, tying Sam Snead. He's going to get the 83 soon, but there's still that conversation about him not being considered the greatest. Listen, he ain't going to lose any sleep over either way. No. And he's got the President's – he's captaining the President's Cup here soon. Mm-hmm. Whether or not he's debating, should I put myself on there or should I not? He was saying after the last victory, yeah, there's a pretty good chance that the – Tiger the President will consider Tiger the player a little bit more. But with that win, and again, with him being just three victories behind Jack after getting the Masters this past year, whether he gets another one, I would think with him being that close and then being that far ahead of Jack all time, this gets me into the next thing I wanted to talk about. A, I think he should be considered the best because they didn't change, as far as I know, courses – because of Nicklaus's play.
No.
You didn't hear that Nicklaus-proofed course. But we heard Tiger-proofed, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So then my question is to everybody out there when you're driving around today, is this now the third? And in my mind, I got three of them. Three unbreakable sports records. We sort of alluded to this last week. He gets to 83. I think, boom, that's it. Because the next closest guy, by the way, in case you're wondering, that's playing right now is Mickelson. He got 44.
Whoa.
Okay, Tiger's got 80. He'll have 83, and who knows how many
more.
He's
on a victory lap around that one.
But let's say we go past Mickelson, right, to the next guy down, Davis Love. Yeah, well, he got a minute and a half left on his career, so he's got 21. But the guy under him that's playing currently is Dustin Johnson. He got 20.
That's a lot of winning.
You think Dustin Johnson is going to play long enough? That's the thing. The money that Tiger has brought
in. And not just
in,
to play long enough, but play at that level long
there
enough.
You go.
That's the thing. Playing, a lot of guys stay out there on the tour because of the money you could make just by going out and finishing 15th. You know what I mean? But are you going to play at that level where you're going to be that top five, top 10 finisher week after week and give yourself a chance to win?
And it gets into the conversation that we have on a regular basis about today's athletes. This is not an indictment on them, but we as sports fans like to see the all-time great ones go for all-time records. And is the incentive there, given the amount of stupid money that's thrown at these people? Really? Why would you want – okay, I can understand. I'll put it this way.
You don't see the money. And I remember asking Tiger once when we lined up for a putt, you know, do you consider the fact if you win this, you know, you sink this putt?
Well, not now.
This much money. Well, This was years ago. And he said he never thought about, he never thinks money when he's playing. Never thinks it. He feels like if he prepares himself correctly, if he executes the way he should, everything takes care of himself. And he's absolutely right.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And but so, he's that rare breed, though. And he wanted to beat Jack. He's the one that grew up with Jack's poster on his wall. He talked about that and Trevino's and all those all-time greats who he wanted to surpass. The records that were being talked about when he was getting ready to win this thing this past week, when he started on the tour. Now he's number one or tied with Sam Snead.
Yeah.
When he started playing in 97, there were 400-plus golfers that were ahead of him, that had more wins, obviously, than him. And he had to go through all of them, and he's got there. What I'm saying to you as far as the money that this dude has brought in to golf and the other sports, the money that's there, why would I, or I can understand why the guy who's sitting at 50th ranked golfer, whoever
right,
that might be.
Right.
Why? I'm still in a private jet world. If I remain the 50th ranked golfer for the money that I'm making, let alone the 100th.
And nobody bothers you.
Exactly.
The media doesn't bother you. Nobody's chasing you.
You
for
got
interviews.
Generational money coming. I would assume the same thing for tennis, some of these individual sports, and even with the team sports. Are we going to see guys going after Hank Aaron's record? Excuse me, Barry Bonds. Are we going to see them going after some of these all-time records because they get comfortable?
Yeah.
I mean, championships are one thing. But before we leave here, too, I wanted you to tell me who made the cover, speaking of tennis.
Tennis Magazine. It was back in July that this 15-year-old Coco Gauff broke through. This month, she's on the cover of Tennis Magazine. That didn't take long, did it?
No, it didn't. She got a birthday coming up when?
In the spring. She doesn't turn 16 until March, and then she gets to play more tournaments.
With the Falcons off this weekend, we need a guy who can take us around and talk about all the stories that happened this past week in the NFL. We've got that guy. He's a friend of the show. That's Russell Baxter. He's going to join us next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Stop in the name of love.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia. And when you hear that music, the guy, like Bob Hope, he's got his own theme song. We want to welcome Russell Baxter joining us, a friend of the show. Anytime we want to go around the NFL, he's the guy.
Yeah, he's the dude.
You know, and we don't have anybody else that's got their own walk-on music, do they?
You know what I mean? He gets it, though. Morning, Russell.
Good morning. Now, it's funny you brought up Bob Hope, because every once in a while I like going on YouTube and watching old TV shows because I'm old-er. And there's a very, very famous episode of Johnny Carson, which featured, among others, Bob Hope, Dean Martin, and George Gobel.
Whoa.
You guys remember George Gobel?
Don't you ever feel that sometime life is a tuxedo and you're prior brown shoes?
I never saw Johnny Carson laugh harder than when George Gobel said that.
Yeah, that's the joke. That's a famous clip, man.
Phenomenal line.
Yeah.
Well, meanwhile, during the whole show, Dean Martin is flicking his cigarette ashes.
Yes, he was.
Into George Gobel's drink.
Yes, he was. You need to see that. That is.
George Gobel thought the audience was laughing at him.
Yep.
And they were really laughing at Dean Martin spoiling his drink.
Wow.
I'm trying to transition into something, a laughing stock in the NFL right now, and I don't know that it's so much ha-ha funny, but it is sort of funny how what has happened to a former Super Bowl winning MVP this last week when we just heard him open his mouth for the first time and nothing but truth came out. Tell us your thoughts on what happened with Joe Flacco in Denver.
Well, it was kind of stunning, to be honest with you. And I remember saying to somebody the next day, no joke intended, was, I asked him, I said, did you hear Joe Flacco's comments after the game? And and I said, really kind of stuck his neck out, didn't he? Well, obviously, guys, when he stuck his neck out, he must have heard it, okay? I found the timing of that move awfully amazing, and I find the fact that Vic Fangio, who hasn't been a head coach in the league long, only 8 games, a veteran coach, but obviously a no-nonsense coach, I'm trying to understand why Joe Flacco said what he said, knowing what the consequences would be, because that's just not the kind of thing you say. I mean, I don't know about you guys, just about everybody was accountable for the team's 2-6 start with, but him.
Yeah, yeah. I looked at this like, you know, at the end of the day, he didn't say that to his coach. He said that to John. Correct. He said that to John Elway. And at the end of the day, you got a first-year coach. You got a guy, like I said, who's got all the hardware that you can get as a quarterback in the NFL. But it was some years ago, and talking about the players on this team who were ascended by John Elway, and he had to decide: do I keep this guy or do I keep that guy? And I don't think that there was a little bit of maybe I can get myself out of here if I do this from Joe Flacco too.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. I think 8 games into the season. And looking at the record that they have and knowing what the Broncos did in the draft, I think Joe Flacco, in a way, was looking at a case of deja vu as to what happened to him in his final year with the Ravens.
Listen, and we're going to get to the Falcons. This is my last thought. Sam, and I want you to comment on this too. I think what we see in Denver with Elway in that position is the same thing we see in Charlotte. We don't get all-time great players who want to stay on a team where you have an all-time great up in the front office. Why haven't the Charlotte Hornets been able to get anybody? Because there never seemed to be good enough for Michael Jordan because of who he was as a player. And I think the same thing applies in Denver. I could be wrong, but why has Denver, since he's been running things, not had a comfortable quarterback that wanted to hang out there for a while?
Well, I mean, listen, he lured Peyton Manning there, okay, so we can't dismiss that.
But it was only a couple years and he was injured.
No, absolutely. We can't dismiss that. We're not breaking any news here. Regardless of the position, how many great players have made great executives?
That's Give me true. A minute.
Regardless
That's hard.
Of the position, and then regardless of the sport, I can think of one that stands out heads and toes around, and that's Ozzie Newsome.
I was going to say Jerry West.
I was going to say Jerry West, too.
Well, I don't know my NBA like you guys know okay. NBA, but I'm talking about football-wise.
Oh, yeah.
It's Ozzie Newsome. Let's be honest here. John Elway's best moves in Denver so far, running the team, has had nothing to do with quarterback. It was getting DeMarcus Ware and rebuilding that defense with a couple other free agents as well. That's what turned the corner. Remember what Denver was, okay? And it's funny because it's almost like what New England's doing in a way, okay? In 2013, the Denver Broncos scored more points than 18 in one season in NFL history and lost the Super Bowl by 35 points. In 2 years, he transformed the team into a defensively-oriented team where the Broncos turned over the ball 31 times during the regular season and still managed to win the Super Bowl.
That is an impressive numbers. Now, you brought up New England. Let's bring them up because, me, they got one of the prime games of the day. Well, the game tonight, the Ravens. Talk about a contrast in style, obviously, in quarterback. But does anything slow down this thing that's happening with the Patriots? It seems that nothing seems to matter with them.
Well, it's another chance for New England to kind of put a damper on the quarterback class of 2018. they have faced they faced a couple of them last year. But this year, be it Josh Rosen coming in as a substitute, or Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen and Sam Darnold as starters, and not tonight, it's Lamar Jackson, they have destroyed the quarterback class of 2018. Now, Lamar Jackson offers a different kind of dimension. Lamar Jackson's a different kind of runner than Josh Allen. Josh Allen today is still more of a runner than he is a passer. He's got a gifted arm, but we haven't really seen the touch so far. But can New England keep up what they're doing? They're really kind of surviving on their defense. That's not a knock on Tom Brady and the offense, but the offense has been sporadic. They've had injuries on the offensive line. And to me, this is a... I go crazy when I hear people talk about, well, they haven't beat anybody. Okay, well, listen, why don't you call the league office and have them schedule LSU and Alabama, okay? You play who you play on the schedule. That's how it is. The schedule rotation's been in since 2002. But if you were worried about New England not playing anyone, here's what I will point out. Their next five games are against teams that all made the playoffs last year. They got Philly coming up. They've got Houston coming up. Baltimore, they have Dallas coming up, and they have Kansas City coming up. So let's see what happens. By the way, I looked this up in the NFL bylaws. No one clinched a playoff spot yet, guys.
Okay. And that's good for us to know, yeah. I suppose, being where we are. I don't know if it gives us...
Well, we need to get to the Falcons for a second here.
Yeah, we do. What
they're getting ready to do is going to be absolutely fascinating when they get back to their off week.
Fascinating in what way? Because we're all waiting for it.
Oh, okay. Well, fascinating isn't describing their play. But fascinating is who they play the next five games. I don't have to remind you guys, they haven't played anybody in the division yet.
Right.
Yeah, and they play five straight games against the division, starting with the Saints.
Well, let me tell you. Go ahead, Russell.
Well, to me, it's about opportunity. If you're going to turn your season around, now would be the time to do it. I'm not saying, as I just wrote, and you will see sometime tomorrow, that doesn't mean they'll get the job done, okay? But, you know, it's like the NFL schedule is very, very backloaded over the last couple of years to playing games in division. I saw this with Seattle a couple of years ago where they played five straight games in division. By the way, the Saints play their next four games within the division. So maybe by early December, we'll have a lot of answers about the NFC South. But, you know, stranger things have happened. It's at least the opportunity is there for a team to get well. If you're like the Washington Redskins, for instance, who are also having a down season, okay? But they've already lost, I believe, three divisional games, which means they can't be any worse, better than 3-3 in the division. Okay, I'm just talking strictly mathematics, and I'm just talking about strictly opportunity. If the Falcons can go on a 4-1 run the next five games, all within the division, that changes things within the entire NFC South.
And the chances of that happening realistically in your mind?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said, and the chances of that happening...
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Okay, point taken.
I'm sorry, when you can't rush the passer in this day and age,
yeah,
and you show no semblance of defense, it's hard for me to imagine them turning things around. I'm just pointing out the fact that very unusual quirk in the schedule is they played eight games already, and no one within... I mean, you look at New England. New England's 8-0. They're 4-0 in the division already. They've already swept the Jets and beating the Bills in Miami. So that's why trying to forecast... Listen, I do power rankings. I understand all that. And I always tell people, to me, it's more about what I write and not necessarily the order, because it's very subjective. But it's going to be fascinating for some of these teams that have good records to see how they fare within the division over the second half of the season, because that's where their viability... Have you dug yourself a hole? In other words, Minnesota is 6-2 and they've won four in a row. Okay? If they had not beaten Detroit in Detroit a couple of weeks ago, they were going to be on little shaky ground. They had already lost to Green Bay. They already lost to Chicago. Okay? Winning a road divisional game is huge if you're trying to stay, as crazy as it sounds and as bad as the Cleveland Browns are playing, okay, and they've been Keystone Cop-like with the turnovers. The fact that they won at Baltimore in week four, at this point, still salvages their season.
Russell Baxter joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We're up against it, but I want to get your thoughts as we wind things up here. Staying in the division, when or where are we going to see Cam Newton again? Your thoughts on what's going on with him?
My sense is, and from what I'm reading, that we're not going to see him the rest of the year because he just doesn't seem like the healing process is unfolding. Where? I don't know. And that doesn't mean he's not going to be back in Carolina. They will obviously have some sort of decision to make depending on how Carolina's season ends. Okay? And you know, I'm not hanging 51-13 on Kyle Allen. Okay? Not unless he slid onto the field at middle linebacker and couldn't stop them from running for 200 yards. So he does have, Kyle Allen does have a little fumbling problem. We know that. Okay? And, you know, finally threw an interception. We hadn't seen that. But the point is that you got to, in these situations, to me, this is not like Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger is expected to be back. Okay? Cam Newton has been hurt basically now for over a year. Okay? And the fact that he's not recovered from this latest injury, I think it's a little bit of an issue. So I think they will have to make the decision on what they're going to do, but they also have to think they have to feel comfortable with what they've got in Kyle Allen.
That's how it looks. Falcons will see them the second week after we come back, but first we get to see the Saints and Mr. Breeze. That's what's coming up straight ahead for our team. Russell, we thank you for spending some time and dropping some knowledge with us this morning. As always, folks, he is on Twitter. You can follow him on social media. He is social at Bax Football Guru, Bax Football Guru.
And how did the game work out last week? Was it your daughter or niece or who had the soccer game last week? You couldn't join us?
No, what was last week was that was swim meet, I believe.
Oh, swim meet. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Perform well?
So, yeah.
Well,
yeah, always.
Tell us you got a shout out. Russell, have a good week, man, and thank you.
Are you, by the way, are you guys setting me free? Why don't you, Ben?
Oh, he's doing some Supremes again.
Oh, the Supremes.
Well, we'll see if we got to talk to our engineer about that. We got you coming in. I don't know if we got you exiting. Russell, have a good week, man.
All right, you got it.
All right, thanks.
All right.
Listen, again, if you can't make it in front of a TV today, we have got NFL action, Vikings and Chiefs, pregame 12:30 kickoff at 1, followed by the Lions and the Raiders. Kickoff at 4 o'clock, and then tonight the Patriots and the Ravens. I predict Lamar's going to perform very well. That's a home game for them.
Yeah.
Pre-game 7:30, kickoff at 8:20. We're going to give you thoughts on some more games. Also got the Cowboys, too, and the Giants on Monday night. We're going to talk about all those up next as we, what do you like to say, round third and head for home, something like that? You got to turn that little button on there.
Not yet. We do that before we go to casting.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com on this off day for the Atlanta Falcons. No waiting for a tailgate show. But you get something as even as much effervescence as that. I was trying to think of the right way to describe them. Don't you hate it when good sentences go bad?
Yeah.
Rob Tribble's up next.
Yes. Talk about that professor.
Yeah, there you go. That was Rob Tribble.
You see his picture next to the name of the dictionary.
During the break, we were talking about a lot of the athletes that some of the ones have come up on the show this morning, and I don't know why I got into this. Before we get into some of the NFL games from today, the top 10 dead money-making celebrities last year.
Okay.
And there's some athletes on that list. But people who have made more money, now celebrities, not singers, actors, just celebrities.
Just celebrities. People who are just known.
Yeah. And how much money they made in 20, because 2019 is obviously over with yet. So this list, and this comes from Forbes, right? So 2018, and the obvious ones are at the top. Michael Jackson's number one. Elvis is number two. Funny thing is, Elvis made $40 million last year in 2018.
Whoa.
Right?
Whoa.
Michael Jackson made $400 million.
That's ridiculous.
But part of that is because they sold off part of his Beatles catalog that he owned. But even the year before that, he was over at 100.
Right.
But number three was the top sports how would you say it? Come on, man. You're leaving me hanging.
Endorser.
Thank you. Endorser.
Yeah.
Before Michael Jordan, and it was Arnold Palmer.
I did not know that.
Arnie made $35 million last year.
Yeah.
He's number three. Number four was Charles Schulz. Peanuts. Okay. We got Snoopy still up on a blimp.
Yeah, we still got that. We're getting ready to see all the holidays, you know, with the Thanksgiving show.
And exactly.
The Christmas show we always see with
Bob Marley was number five, believe it or not.
Bob Marley
made $23 million last year, number six.
Really?
Yeah, he did. I enjoyed every bit of it, you know what I'm saying, man? I smoked it all away, the rest of the family. Number six was Dr. Seuss.
Okay.
Made $16 million last year. Hugh Hefner, number seven, made $15 million. The only actor on there, Marilyn Monroe, made $14 million last year. She's number eight.
She's amazing. She just, like I said earlier, she keeps reinventing herself. You know, she does. You see her in added different dimensions or different entertainers take on the persona, and you just keep seeing her out there.
She's a part of Americana.
Yeah.
Number nine, Prince. He's going to be a lot higher up on that list when some of his music comes out.
I'm like, why
and
is
a person
so far
that's
down?
Not on this list that should be on this list, two people, and they will probably eventually get there. One is Jim Henson.
Oh, yeah.
You would think he'd be on this list already, but he's not. And the other one is Tom Petty, given his catalog.
Right.
He'll be there. But number 10 is John Lennon. Ali was number 12, though.
Okay.
But see, here's the thing about him. He signed he gave a lot of stuff out to everybody.
He did.
So folks wouldn't be fighting about his stuff. Anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. On this bye weekend for the Atlanta Falcons, again, we have got football all over the place. So if you know, take your week off from the drama that has been our Atlanta Falcons for a weekend and enjoy some of the other games in case you can't make it in front of a TV, we've got a trifecta of games here at our station.
Trifecta.
Yeah, Vikings and Chiefs. That pregame starts at 12:30, kickoff at 1. Lions and Raiders kickoff at 4. And then Patriots and Ravens tonight, 7:30 pregame, kickoff at 8:20.
We got a game already underway.
And we do. But we ain't talking about it because otherwise we'll turn the TV.
Yep.
You got an update on that?
Yep. Texans are up 3-0 already on the Jaguars. And this get kicked off a little over 15 minutes ago.
What? I mean, can they do anything more to make their season just as uncomfortable as possible? I mean, you get J.J. Watt coming out with injuries every couple, you know, these last few years. Yeah. You had Deshaun Watson last year. This year, people are using Deshaun Watson's name in the same sentence as Jordan. I mean, you talk about what Dabo said when he was with him, and then John Gruden said it last week, but yet the anchor of their defense is now out for the rest of the season.
That was tough to see. Now, anchor of the defense and just one of the all-around great people in the league.
Right.
And, you know, that's the sad thing. He's been plagued with some injuries here in recent years. And that's
torn pectoral. Is it torn pectoral? I can't even fathom having a muscle tear away from something. Two?
You got to let that.
You can't give me a peace sign, okay? You got to. Okay, thank you. Ken was giving me something. He was waving and gesticular and all that stuff.
Eagles and Bears today. Playing in Philadelphia.
Eagles need to stomp on them.
On the Bears?
Yeah, they do.
Why you want the Bears?
Because that's the only way I'm going to get Trubisky out of there. I don't want him no more. That experiment is driving me crazy. And by the way, go find a kicker too.
Well, they still have a kicker.
They're still dinking them and doinking them and all of that stuff. I've had it with those guys. I was mentioned in the list of games. We also should remind you that we got Cowboys and Giants tomorrow. You can also hear that game right here.
Right here too?
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I mentioned John Gruden, and I have been saying this for the last little bit. This is the team that's in everybody's back. And the laughing stock that was John Gruden and the moves he was making last year, this year, are starting to make people wake up and take notice. They got one. Is it one more year, or is this the last year they got in Oakland and then they moved to Vegas?
I think next season is on to Vegas.
Is in Vegas?
I believe so. You know.
They have positioned themselves right.
Unless they've had some slowdowns or some delays with things with that stadium, that's the stadium should be about right.
I don't believe it's going to happen with David Carr. I just really believe he needs to take all them draft picks he's gotten, and hopefully he can get one of these quarterbacks in the next couple of years coming out that's going to help him. Because, you know, they talk about certain coaches that are quarterback whispers. You know, there's supposed to be one in Michigan right now, and that don't seem to be working. Okay. But what's going on in San Francisco does seem to be working.
Yeah, man.
And you gotta figure that maybe if John Gruden couldn't turn David Carr around, maybe he can do it with a young guy. It's that old adage from your favorite movie, The Untouchables. You want to get a you want to get a good cop, you don't, or you want to get a good apple, you don't go pick one off the ground, you get it off the tree. right?
Yep, yep.
So the same thing applies. And I just think I'm looking forward to what happens next with the Raiders. And, again, you can hear that game with the Lions today.
And there are a number of games that we're watching today that should be entertaining matchups, to say the least. And, you know, you keep an eye on one. We talked about, the Tennessee and the Carolina Panthers. We're obviously going to be watching that one because we get them the week after we get the Saints. And Chiefs-Vikings ought to be a pretty good one. That's a game you're going to get to hear here. And the Sunday night game, obviously, Patriots against Ravens.
Let's go back for a minute.
Yep.
Do you look at San Francisco and what they've done so far this year with kind of a skunk eye because of the coach they have and what we used to have here?
Yeah.
Does it drive you a little bit crazy?
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
A little salty in the mouth?
Just a little bit.
Why is he getting away with what he's getting away with there? And he couldn't do it here.
And
anyway.
And they got our other running back, too.
Yeah, I know.
Yep, yep. All right, folks, going to give you one final chance to get some cash in your pocket. Call it a casting call as we round third and head for home on a game day Sunday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9thegame.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.